Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Today, Nigel and I are diving into something truly fundamental, something we often take for granted, but is, when you really think about it, utterly astounding. The existence of male and female.
Absolutely, John. It's one of those universal truths, isn't it? From the tiniest insects to the largest whales, and of course to us humans, this distinct pairing shows up everywhere. And when you stop to consider the sheer mechanics of it, it's pretty mind-boggling.
It really is. I mean, think about it. You don't just have a creature that reproduces. You have two distinct creatures, each with specific, complementary roles perfectly fitted to each other. It's not just a slight variation, it's a profound division that somehow works seamlessly.
Exactly. And it's not just about physical differences, though those are obvious enough. We're talking about intricate genetic codes that specify which one develops into which, hormonal systems that kick in at precisely the right moments, and then, of course, the behavioral aspects. There's a whole symphony playing out, just to ensure continuation of life.
A symphony is the perfect way to put it, Nigel. If you calculate the math behind a random chance scenario, the impossibility is staggering. For sexual reproduction to begin, one creature must randomly undergo complex genetic mutations to build a specific reproductive system. Then, completely independent of that, a second creature must simultaneously undergo a different but perfectly complementary set of mutations to build the matching lock to that key. Even if that double accident occurred, those two unique pioneers would have to find each other in the exact same geographic location during the same brief generation out of millions of square miles and years of history. Next, they would need synchronized behavioral software just to recognize each other and decide to mate. If any single variable was out of sync, the lineage ends. Yet this hyper-precise coincidence would have had to repeat itself millions of times over for every species on Earth.
And not just once, but then pass on that perfect pairing to their offspring, who then repeat the feat. It's like saying you shook a bag of puzzle pieces, and two halves of a completely unique, intricate lock and key system just happened to assemble themselves, perfectly aligned, ready to function, without any prior plan.
The odds of that just stretches credulity, doesn't it? When you look at the sheer precision involved. Take internal fertilization, for example. The male contribution, the female contribution, the timing, the environment within the female, it's all so incredibly specific.
And the success rate. Despite all the apparent complexity, it's remarkably efficient across countless species. It implies a robust, well-engineered system. If it were truly random, you'd expect far more misfires, far more almosts that don't quite connect.
Or entire species just failing to reproduce because their randomly generated parts didn't quite fit together. But that's not what we see. We see thriving ecosystems, teeming with life, all operating on this dual gender principle, with stunning consistency.
What's more, the distinction isn't just about making new life. It extends to the care and nurturing of that new life. In many species, the roles of male and female extend into parenting, providing different strengths or approaches to raising offspring. Like one guarding while the other forages.
That's a fantastic point, Nigel. It's not just a reproductive strategy, it's a survival strategy for the species. The differentiated roles, the complementary skill sets, the division of labor that often arises from having two sexes, it seems designed for success.
Think about something as seemingly simple as the size difference in gametes. The female ovum, typically larger, carrying more cellular machinery and nutrients. The male sperm, smaller, faster, designed for mobility and delivery. These are not random variations. They are perfectly optimized for their respective functions.
And the sheer number of elements that have to be just right for this to work is staggering. Not just the cell itself, but the systems that produce those cells, the hormones that regulate their production, the signals that prompt mating behavior, the environmental conditions necessary for offspring development.
And these systems are often incredibly complex. Consider the human hormonal system, for instance. A delicate balance of estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and other hormones that dictate everything from physical development to mood and reproductive readiness. And these are all linked to the distinct male and female physiologies.
Right. It's not just a matter of making babies. It's about making a functional, thriving individual that can then go on to reproduce. The entire blueprint for development, from conception to maturity, is intricately tied into these male and female distinctions.
And if any one of those numerous steps were to be out of sync, or if the complementary parts weren't precisely aligned, the whole system would break down. It wouldn't just be less efficient, it would likely fail entirely. It's a testament to incredible foresight, really.
That's the point that always strikes me. the sheer unlikelihood of such a meticulously synchronized system arising by happenstance. It implies a kind of pre-existing knowledge, an understanding of how all these parts would interact before they ever came into being.
It really does. It's like finding a highly advanced machine, perfectly calibrated, with every gear and lever designed to interact with another specific part, and then concluding it all just randomly assembled itself. Our intuition tells us that's not how complex, functional things come about.
Our intuition, and frankly, our experience. Everywhere we see complex functionality, especially when it involves multiple interdependent parts, we infer a designer. Whether it's a watch, a car, or a computer, we know it didn't just happen.
And this system, the male-female pairing, is arguably more complex than any human-made machine. It's self-repairing, self-replicating, and capable of adapting within certain parameters. It's just phenomenal.
Consider the deep-sea anglerfish, for example. The male is tiny, practically a parasite, attaching himself to the much larger female and fusing his body with hers, becoming essentially a sperm-producing organ. It's a bizarre yet perfectly adapted reproductive strategy. How could that arise randomly?
Or plants. Think of the intricate dance between pollen and pistil, often involving specific insect pollinators or wind currents. The female part perfectly shaped to receive the pollen from the male part. Again, highly specific, highly coordinated interactions.
It truly goes across all creatures, great and small. Every single species, if it reproduces sexually, has figured out this male-female pairing. And it's always, always, a system of perfect complementation, not just random difference.
And the fact that it's so pervasive, that sexual reproduction is the dominant mode for complex life, suggests its incredible robustness and inherent rightness. It's not a flawed or inefficient system, far from it.
Indeed, it gives rise to genetic diversity, which is crucial for the health and adaptability of a species. But even that diversity is within the framework of male and female. It doesn't create new genders, it just shuffles the existing cards, if you will.
Exactly. The fundamental design of two complementary sexes remains, providing the framework for all that variation. It's like having a house with a very specific foundation, but you can change the paint color or furniture inside.
So when we look at the intricate dance of male and female, from the molecular level all the way up to complex social behaviors, and we consider the immense number of factors that must align perfectly for it to even begin, let alone sustain itself across generations, what's the most rational conclusion, Nigel?
For me, John, the inference of an intelligent designer becomes almost inescapable. The sheer elegance, the incredible efficiency, and the undeniable codependency of male and female systems point directly to a masterful plan, not a series of lucky accidents.
It just makes so much sense, doesn't it, that something so foundational, so perfectly integrated into the fabric of life, wouldn't be left to the whims of chance, but rather thoughtfully orchestrated. It truly highlights the genius behind creation.
It certainly does. Every time I learn more about the specifics of reproduction, or simply observe the differences and similarities between male and female in any species, I'm struck by the beauty and intention behind it all. It's a powerful testament.
And it makes you look at the world around you with a fresh sense of wonder, doesn't it? To see not just the creatures themselves, but the incredible, elegant system that allows them to continue, generation after generation, all thanks to this perfect pairing.
Absolutely. It's a constant reminder that there's a depth to life that goes far beyond what we might initially perceive. This male-female dynamic, it's not just a biological fact. It's a profound mystery that, for me, speaks volumes about a grand design.
Well said, Nigel. It's been an illuminating discussion, truly giving us pause to appreciate the exquisite engineering of life. Thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure, John. Always a fascinating topic to delve into.
And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in. We hope this conversation has given you something profound to ponder as you observe the world around you. Until next time, take care.